The best of both conventional and alternative medicine. It's the Dr. Holly Lucille Show. Here's Dr. Holly.
Well, they say that about me, conventional and alternative, because I grew up and I was a bachelor degree nurse. Yep. And then I went on to get my naturopathic medical degree. And all this really means is that I've got a tremendous amount of student loans. No, actually, I'm so blessed to have kind of dabbled in a lot of different things because that helps me give you great information. And one of the things that I want to talk about, or the main thing I want to talk about this segment, is something called phytoestrogens. Now, in my opinion, estrogen is a buzzword these days. Now, my first book, which you can actually, if you go to my website, drhollylucille.com. There's an e-store and you can get these books downloadable in the e-form. And so my first book was called Creating and Maintaining Balance, A Woman's Guide to Safe Natural Hormone Health. Because back in the day, like I think 7, 8, 9 years ago when I wrote it, I was thinking, you know, hormone replacement therapy was sort of reaching celebrity status. And I was like, wait a minute, if you go through natural menopause, what's there to replace? Shouldn't we focus on restoring function? And at the time, and I still think to this day, we have a tremendous amount of something called estrogen dominance. Now, if you were listening to me last segment, I was talking about HDL and LDL cholesterol. Hey, I don't think there's any bad cholesterol. I think it's about a balance. Well, it's the same thing when you're talking about hormones. It's about a balance of your hormones. Deepak Chopra, the world-renowned endocrinologist, I think he says it best. You touch one strand and the whole web trembles. And that's when you're talking about your hormone system, your endocrine system. So the book that I wrote really teased out what we have going on in our modern day and what I think is just really symptoms and signs of estrogen dominance. So too much estrogens, and where are they coming from? I'll tell you just real briefly, our environment, okay, lots of xenoestrogens, so plastics and pesticides and car exhaust and soaps and emulsifiers and household cleaning products, and I could go on and on and on and on. And the problem is they're fat soluble, so they pass through our skin and they accumulate over time. And then also we've got people taking estrogen in the form of either birth control pill, those are, or hormone therapies. Those are called exogenous forms of estrogen. And then also because of our lifestyle sometimes and our compromised choices, we've got a liver that's not functioning too well. And so we're having a hard time clearing our own estrogens. And so we end up getting very estrogen dominant. And so a lot of people have heard about this. A lot of people hear about estrogen dependent cancers. And so when you think about phytoestrogens, people end up actually getting a little bit kind of wonky around it, I should say. That's probably not a very descriptive word, but they're just thinking estrogen. And so what I really want to break down is what actually is a phytoestrogen, okay? Because I think there's some really important information here about some people that are estrogen dominant that might actually want to have phytoestrogens on board. Okay, so phytoestrogens, when you think about, I'm interrupting myself and I apologize for that, but let me do that. So when you think about our estrogens, okay, they're steroidal in nature, steroid hormones. So when you think about phyto, so phyto means plant. And the biggest phytoestrogens that I'm going to highlight are those that, they're mainly, but they're not exclusively, they're legumes for the most part, okay, especially legumes. So we're thinking about soy, but they're phenolic, all right? Most of them are phenolic in nature. So they're an entirely different chemical compound than our steroid hormones. And quite honestly, they are 1/100th to 1/10,000th the strength of our own body's estradiol, okay? So that scientists have discovered hundreds of phytoestrogens, including soybeans, as I said. They are also found in whole grains, seeds, especially flax seeds, nuts, and many herbs as well, including red clover and hops. Okay, so think about hops. What is the component? Hops is a component of what? That's right. That beer belly that we see, and maybe those moobs, those man boobs that we see. Estrogen tells cells to grow and proliferate. And sure, you can maybe get some stimulation from too many of these phytoestrogens, but for the most part, here's the deal. How do they work? So phytoestrogens have been used historically in conditions which are often now treated with estrogen therapies. Their main mechanism of action is actually as an adaptogen. Now, if you've been with me on the show before, and we're going to talk continually about adaptogens when it comes to stress, things like rhodiola, holy basil, because those are things that can help us grow our fuse and actually adapt to the multiple stressors that we have. But phytoestrogens are adaptive and therefore act as an adaptogen because they can offer a little bit of estrogen, an estrogen effect if needed. But guess what else they can do? They can block stronger estrogens if needed as well. This means in that they can be beneficial when estrogen levels are either increased or when estrogen levels are decreased. Okay, so when phytoestrogens are metabolized, they bind on the same cellular receptor site as do estrogens. So when you think about xenoestrogens in our environment, when you think about phytoestrogens, and when you think about our body's estrogens, they're looking for those receptor sites. And when you look at hormones, it's kind of like a lock and key theory. The hormone is the key, and the receptor site that receives the message, because that's what hormones do, they deliver messages. That is actually the lock, okay? So phytoestrogens are considered to be weak estrogen compounds as compared to our steroidal estrogens, as I said, or even weaker than those very strong and provocative xenoestrogens found in the environment. So when a phytoestrogen has attached itself to an estrogen receptor, it prevents a stronger estrogen from exerting its effect. And so that's what's really important. That's how they can be adaptive and help somebody in an estrogen dominant situation. And this is an equal opportunity issue. We're talking about men and women because men do have estrogen receptors, just like we have testosterone receptors. And men can experience a hypertrophy of their prostate that's rich in estrogen receptors. All right, so really, really, really important to understand. Now, are they safe? Because people, like I said, there's a buzzword around estrogen. So phytoestrogen containing plants and herbs, all right, like I said, red clover, hops, offer significant advantages over the use of estrogens in the treatment of clinical conditions, including menopausal symptoms. So although both synthetic and natural estrogens may pose significant health risks, phytoestrogens, the plant estrogens, have not been associated with these side effects, okay? In fact, there was an epidemiological data and experimental studies in animals have demonstrated that these plant estrogens are extremely effective in inhibiting mammary tumors, okay? That's breast tumors, not only because they occupy estrogen receptors, but also through other unrelated anti-cancer mechanisms. And so there's a hint that not only are these safe to use, but they're extremely, extremely effective. All right, so we're talking about phytoestrogens, different, very, very different than our own body's estrogen, and certainly different than our xenoestrogens, much, much weaker. All right, so let's talk about if you choose to increase your soy foods. One of the things that I want to recommend is you got to watch out. It's a very creepy crop, genetically modified organisms about 99%, so you got to get non-GMO. When you think about soy in general, if this is not in a supplementation form, well, if it is in a supplementation form, you want non-GMO, you want organic as possible, and fermented would be best, all right? And so I also want to talk about dosages, because I think that's important, okay? A reasonable approach, I would say, would be to ingest, if you have an estrogen dominant situation, a daily level of isoflavones, that's one of the phytoestrogens, not to exceed the amount of 150 milligrams of isoflavones per day for adult, okay? So that's important because a lot of people got soy pancakes going on, then they've got soy bars and they've got soy milk. And so think about those isoflavone content. That's the soy, it's a phytoestrogen, and not, you wanna take about 50 to 150 milligrams a day of the isoflavones. GMO is possible, fermented if you can, and that's the deal, phytoestrogens. You can use them to block stronger estrogens. So they're not bad estrogens, they're just weaker estrogens, and they can be helpful. So just getting you this information, because this is Mindful Medicine on Radio MD. Stay well.